Good morning, everybody. This is the Fisherman Ministry in Northfield, Vermont. Well, we sang some songs this morning. I hope you listened to them. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. The words of the Lord have authority. They have power. They're not light. They bring lightness, but they themselves are words to be thought about. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You know, we sit here every Sunday. Those who listen, hear every Sunday. Let's say you don't come every Sunday, but you're here today. And everyone in this room was here last week. You know what's kind of sad? As Steve said this morning, just before the service, what did I preach on last week? And no one of us who were here and heard him remembered what he had said. That's not a good thing. When we hear the word of the Lord, we ought to take it and meditate on it and think about it. I was included in that group. It's not a good thing. You know what it shows? We didn't do the word because we have to hear it and do it. And if you're doing it, you'd know what you heard. What did Steve preach about last week? A couple of people looked on their notes and they said, ask and it shall be given you. How much have you asked this week in faith, believing that the Lord will give it to you? Probably not much because you didn't hear last week. Do you hear what I'm saying? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. When I went to South Africa, there are two things Steve really wanted to do. Tourist related, neither of which we did. Guess what we're doing next time? One of them we didn't do was in a town called Paarl, a city really, outside of Cape Town. And we didn't get to the Afrikaans Language Museum because we went to Paarl Rock. I am not aware, I'm sure there might be a place like this, but I'm not aware of a single rock being as big as this one. You know, there's Ayers Rock in Australia. There are rocky things, but this thing, if you look at it, is one enormous boulder. It's, I don't know how to describe the scale of it because it was huge. It's so big, they're heavy. They've driven in posts with a rope to help you walk up the thing. It's like a mountain. Build your house on something like that. Because you know when rain comes? Did you notice that? It said it twice. And the rain descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. Verse 25. That's talking about the house on the rock. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Exactly the same words, the house on the sand. The same thing happens in terms of what you experience in life. The troubles, the tribulations. You know, some of the persecution is different because you're in the Lord. But in terms of your circumstances around you, they come at you looking the same. Are you going to stand under them or are you going to fall? What was it, 2 years ago? Irene came through here. Hurricane Irene. Anyone who's ever dug dirt in Vermont knows you hit rocks. I mean, they're just, there they are. Every spring. Of course, that's because of the freezing and what have you, and the rocks filter to the surface and all the good stuff filters down and you have to add, you know. When Irene came through here, we went for a walk, and we went through the third bridge. Anyone out there? We live at three covered bridges in a quarter mile. We went up the road through all three of them, and the field on the left, right through the third bridge, anyone who lives around here knows the one. There's a barn. It's the red and white house on the right. There was no grass left. There was not a grain of sand. All that was left were rocks. It was interesting to me because it made me see what is underneath the grass we see and whatnot. That's what we want to plant on. Not crops, but our house, our life. I don't mean your house, but if you're going to pick a place to plant a house, you wouldn't put it on a sandy shore at the sea where the waves are going to come and erode away that sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like the wise man that builds his house on the rock, builds his life on the word. Who's the rock? Jesus. You put your faith in him, your trust in him. Don't trust another person. It was one of the highlight points that Steve has told me over time that I remember. Do not trust me. Trust the Lord to keep me for you. Because when you trust a person, you're setting them up to fall and you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. It's just a fact. No person deserves your faith and your trust except the Lord. So put your trust in him and believe him because he cares about you. Do you know that? Do you know that, Steve?
The first song we sang this morning, I Am Free, was a great song, and I'll probably come back to it. I want to hit on a couple things just that Megan talked about, and then I want to tie it into another place. So I want to go back just a little bit before where Megan was in Matthew 7 and start for a moment with verse 21, where it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So this is a doing, not just a hearing. Okay, so in other words, people who say, "I believe in Christ, yes, Jesus," you know, and go and pray to Christ and everything and call him Lord, but don't do what he says, are not going to enter in. And it goes on, "Many will say to me in that day," and many there means the majority. So the majority of people who call themselves Christians will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And I just want to hit on one point here real quick. Lord doesn't say that these things did not happen. They very well may have happened. It doesn't say one way or the other. But it says, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." See, one who works iniquity is one whose works are motivated out of pride. All right, and it's a very subtle thing a lot of times. We talk many times about how two people can do the same thing. And one, it can be of the Lord, and another, it cannot. For example, two people can feed the hungry. Two people can feed the hungry. One, God be the one who is the author of it. And another, God have nothing to do with it. And they're both doing the same act. Same act. And what distinguishes the difference is what's the motive behind it, because the motive behind it is going to determine whether he is a part of it or not. And if he is a part of it, praise God. All right. If he's not a part of it, as Paul said, he said, "I could give all my goods to feed the poor, but have not charity, I am nothing." That's what he says over there in 1 Corinthians 13. So it talks about here, the reason why their very testimony testifies against them is because what they're doing is they're coming testifying of what they have done. What does a believer testify of? What Christ has done. You follow what I'm saying? Jesus said about himself, he said that the works that I do, the Father doeth them. He didn't take credit for any of them. So who are we to think that we do anything? Remember revivals last summer? We went through and it says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Remember that whole thing? And the concept there is why you end up learning to lean wholly on him for everything. Not some things, everything. And in that place, when you're standing up there, it's like when he reads over in Matthew 25, I believe it is, where he separates the sheep from the goats. the sheep's testimony when they say, he says, look, he said, when I was hungered, you fed me. When I was athirst, you gave me drink. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. And they're like, when? I don't remember doing any such thing. That's the testimony of those who went, who were the sheep, who he separated and brought into his kingdom. And he says, when you did it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. Where's the goats, by contrast, when he says, when I was a hunger, you didn't feed me. When I was a thirst, you didn't give me drink. They didn't do any of these things. And their response is, when didn't we do these things? See, because their entire mindset has been, it's all been about what they have done. The sheep's entire mindset is it's all about what God has done, what Christ has done, not what we have done. Two radically different things. One is a picture of humility. The other is a picture of pride. Right? And so then he comes down to the verse, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now, two things I just want to hit on this. For one, Megan was talking about Hurricane Irene coming through, and we all saw like sides of mountaintops fall down, and what was left was the rock, right? That's what happened. She was describing just right up here. Henry likes going up to the place where you go through the, what's it called, Smuggler's Notch up there. They got those huge boulders along the road that you pass between. And Henry, when he first came to me, he was talking about them from the perspective of, you know, that was an evidence of the ice age. I said, no, that was an evidence of the flood. I said, didn't you see what happened over here in Hurricane Irene? I mean, when water comes through, what's it do? It takes away all of the soil and all of the small stones and stuff like that, and it leaves what? The big boulders, the big rocks, and that's why you have them sitting there, is because that's where they were underneath all of the other things. So when the waters receded, they were left. And he's like, oh, I never thought about it from that perspective. Okay, and so that's how it moves, and that's why you say the wise man builds his house on the rock. You know, when they, even on Manhattan, you know, New York City, when they have the skyscrapers, they drill down to bedrock. They drill down to bedrock on that island called Manhattan Island to fasten the foundation of those skyscrapers to bedrock. Right, and they stood. Now, the other point I want to make is, some of you will remember, and it's over in John chapter 4. I'll go over there for a moment. you'll remember, and I've gone through it, the woman at the well and everything. Samaritan woman, remember, it had five husbands and all that stuff that came on. And, of course, Jesus was talking with her, as you'll remember. And he's talking with a woman who had five husbands. The man she's with now is not her husband. She doesn't tell him this. He tells her that this is the case. And yet here the Son of God amongst all the people on the earth is talking to who? Her. So his disciples come and they're immediately offended. What is he doing talking to her? First of all, she's not a Jew. She's a Samaritan. Second of all, he's talking to a woman. He shouldn't be doing that. And so they're offended, and he says to them, they'd come bringing food, and he says to them down here, they come back, and they say, verse 31, in the meantime, all his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now, the reason why I want to bring this up, what were we just talking about? Doing the will of the Father. We're talking about meat. Remember we talked about how the Word of God is food? You know, there's the sincere milk of the gospel. What does a child need? Milk. Okay, you give a child meat. I mean, you give a child milk. If you gave them meat at that time, they wouldn't be able to digest it. But as they grow, you start introducing other foods. And those other foods are important for their bodies to be strengthened, for them to grow and reach full capacity at maturity. You follow what I'm saying? And a very important element of that is strong meat. All right? So you see here, you if you don't partake of strong meat, which is to do the will of your Father, you're never going to experience the full your full development as a person in Christ. That new man is not going to be fully developed. It's going to be stunted in its growth. We see it out here in nature, don't we? We see people who they're stunted in their growth for bad diet, for different types of reasons, okay? And for example, I mean, if you came here and with the pilgrims and the like, they would have come over here and marched and found Indians who were much bigger than them. The reason was is there was bountiful food, there was good food and stuff like that. So the Indians' diets were good, and they were much bigger. Now, the Europeans who came here at 5'2" are now 6'2". Why? Because their diet is better than what they came from before. You follow what I'm saying? They ate better food. You want to come to full fruition, you've got to practice, exercise yourself in the faith by doing that which you hear. If you don't do that, you're never going to come unto the full development that Christ intends for you. Now, I want to turn over here to John chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 28 in chapter 8. And mind you, for those who are here with us, this is going to relate to the I Am Free song that we sing. For those who don't know it, go look it up. I mean, I may go through some of the verses with you later, but it's a nice, succinct telling of what the promises of God to us who believe are. And therefore, we should walk in them. If we don't walk in them, it's not His fault. It's our fault. And that becomes very critical in what I'm going to share here. And I go back to 25 for a second. He's talking here to like the Pharisees and all these people who are like, who are you? Now, they know who He is, okay? But they're trying to catch Him in words and stuff like that so they can accuse Him and get rid of Him and everything. So they said unto Him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. These aren't things of His own thinking. Those things I have heard of Him. Remember you were talking about how His doctrine, the people were astonished at the end of Matthew 7 because He taught them as one having authority. Why did He teach them as one having authority? Because He taught them those things He had heard from His Father. Okay, He didn't teach things of His own self. How much do you teach of your own self? How much do we think we have, like, some really great pearls of wisdom out here that we could share with folks? Anybody had pearls of wisdom that they found out were, like, little dog doo-doo? I found I had a whole life of them. He said, they understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Look, these are the people who had come to Him and said, we know that Thou art a man sent by God, because no man doeth the works that Thou doest except God be with him. They said, we know this. But because they did not believe the Father, but rather followed the traditions of men, they were alienated from the life of God that we have in Christ Jesus, because they weren't doing the will of their Heavenly Father. They were saying they were. And they even occupied positions of great authority to, so that people would think that, hey, these were the ones who do so. Good example of that today, good modern example, take the Pope. Take the Bishop of the Church, the Episcopal Church here in the United States of America. I could go down the line through almost every major denomination, and you're going to be talking about the very people he's talking about. People who say they are of the Lord. People who say that what you're supposed to listen to me and do what I say, but they don't know Christ. They don't recognize Him. They don't have the Spirit of God. They are speaking of their own selves and calling it of God, yet they have all the pomp and circumstance and all the worldly accolades that say they're the ones to listen to. I just want you to understand, when Jesus was here, He had none of those things. He didn't have any worldly accolade. He had nothing. He was in plain clothes. He wasn't welcome to preach in the temple. He wasn't welcome to go do the things that the others. They wanted to cast him out. He goes into his hometown. He reads out of the scripture and he says, "This day is this fulfilled in your sight." And they took him to the precipice of the mountain of the thing to throw him down and kill him. That was the response he got. So look, I just want you to understand there's no difference. There's no new thing under the sun. The same thing Christ confronted back then 2,000 years ago with a religious establishment that did not know him, were usurpers, were liars, and were deceiving the people. It's the same today. Exact same today. And who did he have? He had 12 guys. 12 guys. I think it's over in John 8. I could be wrong, where just about everybody left. Maybe it was 9. I forget which one. But it's one of those things that it's John 8, I think. But if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's in John where everybody departed from him but the 12. Okay? So he didn't have, I mean, he may have had great crowds of people. He may have had many people who heard him. He may have had these different things and many people were healed and the like. But he didn't have many people who joined him. You follow what I'm saying? That's the difference. He didn't have many people who joined him. So, he says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself." Wait a second. I do nothing of myself? See, most people think, when they look at Jesus, what they think is, well, hey, look, I mean, Jesus was God. Therefore, he could do it. Me, I'm not God, and therefore I can't. Well, Jesus didn't come down in the form of God, did he? He didn't come down in the form of God. He came down in the form of man. The anointing of the Lord fell on him at the baptism of John, right? The Spirit descended upon him. And immediately he was driven by that Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, right? And he didn't eat anything. And then it was after that he came back in the power of the Spirit. Isn't that the same Spirit he gave us, gives to us, promises to us? Isn't that the same Spirit that the disciples received on the day of Pentecost and they went forth in power after having been kind of mealy-mouthed before then? You know, "I'll never deny you," except for tonight 3 times before the cock crows, right? Mm-hmm. Even the little maids, even the little servants, I'm terrified of her. Maybe she'll tell somebody that I know you. Right? Cowering. Peter, the great Peter, apostle, you know, on this house, on this rock, I built it. Didn't build it on Peter. He didn't build his church on Peter. The church is built on Christ Jesus. He's the cornerstone. Now, Peter and the other apostles and prophets have a part. You know what? When you lay a cornerstone, is that the entire foundation, Roger? Nah, you got to put some other stones in there, right? The cornerstone sets the dimensions. And then everything else goes. You know what the remainder of that those dimensions are made up by? The apostles and prophets. Okay? Now, if you don't hear them, then you're not building your house on the rock. You're building your house on the sand. There's no way of rejecting them and receiving Christ. No way. Doesn't work that way. So, he says, "When you've lifted up the Son of Man," that's referring to his crucifixion, "then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." That's all he spoke. He didn't speak anything else. "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Wow, that's pretty cool. He hadn't left me alone. Why? Because I always do those things which please him. I only speak the things he's taught me. I don't speak other things. I don't think, "Hey guys, I had a really great idea." No, what he spoke was what he was taught by his Father. And he's not talking about Joseph. He's talking about his heavenly Father. And who was the heavenly Father? The Holy Spirit. Doesn't it say that the Holy Spirit shall teach you all things concerning me? All right. Do you only do that which the Holy Spirit teaches you? That kind of hard sometimes because so many people don't seem to like what the Holy Spirit teaches me. I get out there and tell them those things, they're like, I don't like some of you. You're not making me feel good. My job's not here to make you feel good. My job's here to teach you the truth, that you may be free. So let's watch this. As he spake these words, many believed on him. That means they believed what he said was indeed the word of God and not the word of man. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Watch, if ye continue in my word. To continue in my word means you take it, you keep it, you walk in it. You don't like, hey, what was it that we did last week? I don't remember. Let's see. Yeah, you put it into practice. You take that thing seriously. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I give Joan a lot of hard time. I kid her a lot about mating. We always talk and stuff like that. You take a young man who's interested in a girl. Oh, my, man, that young man will remember everything she says or does, right? Right, Davey? I mean, it'd be like, he'll pay attention to things and stuff like that because he's interested in her, right? The young girls do the same thing, don't they? Linda, you get interested in a guy, it's like, it's amazing how, the whole world parts and there's this guy and he's like really important and what he likes and all the different things are just really cool to you. Let me ask you something, what's more important? Some young girl, some young guy, or the Lord? But we're drawn by our lusts to the one. The other we have to choose contrary to our lusts to do. And that takes effort. You know what you need to do that? Power. You need power to do that because you can't do it without power. You know why? Because the lusts are so strong. You think trying to quit cigarette smoking is hard? You try to quit following your lusts. That's hard. Especially the lusts of your mind. Because that's where you're legendary. I mean, you have achieved legendary status in your own mind. Okay, other people are peons, mind you, in the great game of your mind, and you can't understand them because they're so lowly relative to you and your wisdom, right? Isn't that about how we look at the world? Why do they do that? Why isn't anybody paying attention? Why did I? We go, why? Right? And it's because they're not agreeing with us. Well, let's look at something. Are we agreeing with Christ? That's where the grimacing starts coming in. Wait a second, man. Agreeing with Christ? Oh, man. Do I do that? You see how you need power to overcome to do that? And the power you need is supplied by the Holy Spirit of God. What did we talk about last week? Ask and ye shall receive. Okay, if you want that Holy Spirit of God and you have not had it, ask. And then be open to receiving as he chooses. Because, for example, there is a doctrinal manner in which the Holy Ghost is imparted according to the Word of God. And that doctrinal manner is by the laying on of the hands of the apostles. Not by the laying on of the hands of the prophets. Not by the laying on of the hands of the evangelists. Not by the laying on of the hands of the pastors. But only by the laying on hands of the apostles. And because somebody can heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils doesn't make him an apostle. Look at Philip. He did those things. Well, he didn't raise the dead that I know, but he certainly cast out devils and healed the sick and did mighty miracles over there in Samaria. But you know what? He couldn't impart unto them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it requires humility on your part to receive these things and a submission to the way God does things. So, he goes on here. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the verse I wanted to get down to. And ye shall know the truth. So, you mean you didn't get it all up front? You got to continue in the word. You got to do these different things. And then? And you know what happens is you see this all the time with folks. You see people, they realize the gospel is true. They receive Christ. They're excited. And then they kind of tire out and expire some way. You know, if you had a child, all they ever had was mama's milk, How strong do you think that child's going to grow up to be? Can you imagine a 21-year-old still over there? Hey, Mom, can I have a squirt? I'm hungry. Can you imagine? I mean, that'd be like disgusting. I mean, we'd be like, that's perverse. What in the hell's the matter with you? But we also wouldn't see a very strong child, would we? If you don't do these things, you die. You're not going to come to full age. You're not going to be able to go do this stuff. You're going to die. But it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What I find is this. It's like children with food. Eat your vegetables. I don't like my vegetables. Eat that meat. I don't like that meat. It's dry. I'm going to vomit. I mean, they'll try anything. Will they not? I mean, they will try anything to get out of eating. And of course, they're always justified, and you're the tyrannical parent. I said, eat it. But Dad, isn't that what happens with you? All of a sudden you get hit with a little truth in the word that's uncomfortable, you don't like. And what do? Well, I mean, no. I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. I'll never do that. Right? Isn't that what you do? And yet you want all the good things of God. You want to be free. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Isn't that how we want it? I mean, let me do the least I can possibly do and get everything. Isn't that about how people operate? Let me see. I've got my job here. It's as a store clerk in a place. And there's really no hope to become the owner because the owner's the owner and they're probably not looking at giving it to me. So let me do the least. Okay, yep, there's some stuff that probably should be reshelved. I saw those people taking it and put it over there, but it's not. Why should I go do that? I mean, I got people to call on my thing when there's something. I got people to text. I got appointments to make and important plans to do and stuff like that. Right? I mean, I'm important, aren't I? They just don't understand what it's like to be me. They don't pay me enough for that kind of stuff. That happen with anybody? I guess it doesn't happen with Kaylee because she's smiling at me here. The store clerk over there in Plainfield. She's probably observed some of the other people who work there doing such things, but herself, no. Never happened. Ever. Never happened. And yet, what do we want? We want the paycheck. And then we want the good reference when we leave and go find a better job, right? We want all these things, but is that how it works? He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. You know, my dad, it was funny, when he worked at the Washington Post, they used to have these kind of an entry-level position. I forget what they called it. It wasn't copy boy. It was something more dressed up than that because, you know, we were talking about people in college and everything. We wouldn't want to make them think that they were not some big shot, you know, right out the gate. So they had some more important thing that they called themselves. And my dad used to say to them, they'd say, well, how come you never give me the opportunity to go do this? Or how come you never give me the opportunity to go do that? Because, of course, they were legends in their own mind. They could do these things. They were in journalism school and studying photojournalism, and they knew how to do these things. Just give me the chance. How about go develop that film over there? No, but I can do. How about go get me a cup of coffee? No, but I can. Oh, you can't do these things. Here you sit there before me, and you can't do a single thing I ask you, and you think I'm going to give you something that's really critical to do? Are you a freaking idiot? Do you not have any sense in your mind at all? I don't like you. This isn't a very good place to work. No, the truth is, thankfully, a number of those people actually thanked my dad later. And I've met some of them, and they thanked him because he kind of got them into gear, and they became professionals, people who you could count on every day to go do a good job. But they had to learn by doing the trash jobs. Isn't that how it works? When you were at the granite shed, Roger, they didn't like instantaneously give you the airbrushing of the final touches of the monument for World War II down in Washington, D.C., did they? Or for 9/11 or something like that, the firemen, you know, the memorial they did there. They give that to the child who's just come out of Vermont Tech and goes, I know how to cut granite. I can do it. Can I do that? Why? Because they want to be important, right? That's what it's all about. No, no, no. How about you go clean up behind that machine? Well, I don't want to do that. Tough. That's what I want you to do. Go do it. I don't like this job. Right? Isn't that how people are? Say, look, I mean, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to go forward, you got to determine that you are going to love the truth, that you are going to love service, that you are going to love or prefer these things over your own life. Isn't it say, he that will seek to save his life, the same shall lose it, but he that will lose his life for my name's sake, the same shall save it? It's in the process of learning those things. I don't care if anybody you see goes, attaboy or attagirl, or I think you're doing well. You know what people used to say to me, and Charlie, you may remember this. I don't know, Robin, you may remember this. Guys like Ralph and Bill, who are doing great, they're great pillars of the Christian faith. One's dead, sadly. The other one's been off the rails for a good 15, 20 years now. And as a consequence, family members off the rails, as a consequence, all sorts of things going. You know what they used to say to me when I would make coffee for everybody and be attentive to doing these things? They used to say, you'll make a good wife someday, Steve. I think you'd make a good wife. Okay. Now, why do you think they said those kinds of things? Were they actually encouraging me to go forward and do that which was right? Nah. They wanted to stop me at all costs. Because now they were not justified in their own rebellion and selfishness and pride. They wanted to be justified. So any lowball tactic was not too low to use on a newborn Christian by a so-called mature Christian because they wanted to stop me. People say things like that, you're a brown noser, and you just do, you're a brown noser. Yeah, you're a brown noser. People use these different things. This is why I tell my son Joseph all the time, he's always like, Sammy did this, I don't care. You got to get over the fact what Sam does to control your behavior. You know, if you're going to wait for other people to approve that you're serving the Lord is right, you will never, ever, ever serve the Lord. You will never do it. You have to decide that you're going to serve the Lord, notwithstanding the recognition that maybe nobody else will. Maybe nobody else will. Noah, for example. You have to make that determination. And you have to, day by day, recognize your utter dependence on his power to help you overcome everything in this world. What's it say? He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So you lean on he that is greater than he is in the world so that you can overcome the world and do the will of God. That's what you got to do. And look, don't sit here and expect, even amongst this fellowship, and I want to hope better, and I believe we'll do better than what I'm saying, but the truth of the matter is, you can't wait for other folks to give you their praise for what you've done. I mean, people know, you know, Davey and I are pretty close and the like, and people are sometimes, I mean, one of the things I'll say every once in a while is, there's really, I mean, it's actually happened a little bit more of late, which is almost like, oh my God, what do I do with this? But, I mean, Davey almost never gave me an attaboy in anything. He does every once in a while. And I'm a little different than some people because attaboys tend to go to my head. So there's reasons why attaboys are not very common with me. That might be different for somebody else where they may need an attaboy to continue forward in doing that which is right. So don't use me as a standard. I don't mean it that way. But, I mean, it was just a truth. And, you know, me, myself, and I'm wondering, man, I'm hoping to God I'm doing right, but I feel like a dimwit. I'm hoping to God I'm doing right, but it seems like things seem to be going wrong, and it doesn't seem to be going the way I would expect it to go if I was doing right. And as he and I were chatting about the other day, you know, we were talking about the different things that come against you and the fact that you constantly have stuff coming against you. And, of course, the perspective that happens every once in a while in the midst of that is, why is all this coming against me, Lord? I'm doing what you want me to do. I think I'm hoping to. I'm trying. You know what I'm saying? Why is all this coming against me continuously? Because I love you. It doesn't feel very good. Who cares? You know why it's good? It continuously requires me to apply faith in my Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. Because to walk the Christian walk, if you want to think of it, stuff rolls downhill, right? Well, where's hell located? Is there a place more downhill than hell? It's in the center of the earth. It's in the belly of the earth. Okay, it's downhill. I don't care where you are. You can be in Death Valley. Downhill to hell. Okay. Heaven, by contrast, is uphill. Now, I don't know about you, but everything in nature goes downhill, right? So if you're going to go uphill, you have to exert, you have to apply something called what? Power. Energy, right, power. You got to apply power. And if you want to keep going uphill, you know what? You never stop applying power. So if you're going to walk the Christian walk, you know what you're going to be doing? Applying power continuously every single day. Because else, if you don't apply that power, you know which way you're going? Downhill. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go downhill. I mean, when I was on my bike or, you know, some different things, on skis, I like going downhill better than uphill. But truth of the matter is, I want to go upwards to my Heavenly Father, not downwards to this cursed earth and the ruler of this world. And because of that, I have to apply my faith in the power of God and the fact that He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world every day. And as much as I might like to take time off from that battle, it's not good for me to take time off from that battle. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's good for me to apply myself in that every day and to live that way. That's what it is to continue. And it's in that place that you come to get free. Everything that would hinder you will be gone. Because you're doing what? You're about your Father's business, your Heavenly Father's business. And everything that would stand in the way of doing that, well, you know what? It's going to be shed. And there's going to be unpleasant truths along the way that you have to do. But those unpleasant truths are there not to make you feel bad and this, that, and the other thing. They're to set you free. That's the idea. They set you free. You got an unpleasant truth in your life that has you in bondage. Oh, well, I'm going to ignore that unpleasant truth because bondage is, at least I get to continue to be the legend in my own mind. Or no. Okay. I mean, for me, the way it happened, and I mean, it's been an unfolding story my entire walk, but the way it happened up front, as you've heard before, is I realized, I mean, I thought I was pretty smart, and I thought I knew a pretty lot, and I had all the accolades to show that that was the case, because the world said I was very smart, and the world said I was very successful, and the world said I had what was needed and what was wanted, and so people, that was my entire life, was that from my youth up. And I came to know the Lord, who I thought was the least likely thing to be true in the entire universe. And then I found out that that which I thought was the least likely thing to be true was true. So for me, it was like, oh, well, I guess everything I had ever learned before was now fit for nothing but the garbage heap. Everything. And what was kind of neat, I mean, I remember talking with Richard about it, and he said, no, not everything you learned was wrong, but I, like I've told you before, I didn't know which part was right and which part was wrong, so I just buried it all. What happened is, about 3 years later, after having passed through this, about 3 years later, the Lord brought back those things which I had learned before. But now what he did is he put, and the way I've described it to people many times, is it was like if you can look at, if somebody were to show you this landmass, like you look from space and you were to see this landmass that is the United States of America. It's got mountains, it's got deserts, it's got all these different things. But when you're seeing it from afar, it's just this kind of undifferentiated landmass. And then you start laying lines on it, like a transparency, we used to put. And all of a sudden you say, oh, that's where the U.S. is. Oh, that's where Vermont is. Oh, those are the Green Mountains. Oh, that's Lake Champlain. Oh, and it begins to get some definition for you, and you can begin to now grasp and understand what you had been observing. Well, that's kind of what the Lord did with me, is he took all that stuff I'd buried, and when he brought it back, he brought it back showing it to me from his perspective. And then I was able to minister out of that to folks. But it began by just figuring it was all done. Why keep any of it? And then he brought back in a manner that was useful to him, that which was redeemable. And the other stuff he let go. He'll do the same with you. But as long as you think it's worth hanging on to, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So let's go forward and get down to this part of taking that which we learned, take that which you've learned today, make a point of putting into practice that which you've learned today, and ask the Lord to bring back to remembrance those things you've learned today so that tomorrow you can put it back into practice. And each day you do that. He gives us our daily bread, as it says. Each day you do that. Each day you lean on it, and you will grow into a mighty, faithful Christian whose house is built on the rock. And you will get free of every bondage that holds you back, that you can serve him. Amen. May the Lord bless you, folks.